You're listening to 91.3 WYSO. College students are surrounded by technology inside and outside of the classroom. And increasingly, educators are reaching learners through smartphones and laptops. Community Voices producer Jeff Hiles is an instructional designer at Wright State University. He finds that for some students with disabilities, the move to online learning brings new opportunities and new challenges.
All right, Mason, heel.
Charles Heiser walks through a stream of students in the halls of Wright State University. His service dog keeps him from bumping into things along the way.
Hello, Charles.
Oh, hey, Felix.
Hello.
How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. How about you?
Pretty good. Going to class.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
In class, Charles sets a black box on his desk. It's called a Braille note taker. It's something like a laptop, but its keyboard has just one key for each finger. Also, it doesn't have a screen. Instead, he runs his finger over a strip of small bumps. These represent letters and numbers in Braille. Outside of class, Charles uses a regular laptop. It has software that reads out loud what's on screen.
This was a short story that we had to read for Tuesday's class. Really short.
Like many screen reader users, he listens at a very fast rate.
Usually I'll slow it down to about here if I want to read. So that's what it's like when I'm reading one of these textbooks on my computer.
It's common now for faculty to deliver course materials electronically. With screen reader software, a student who is blind can grab a syllabus online and read it anytime without needing anyone else's help. That's the ideal. But it's not always so easy. Using a screen reader can be like looking through a straw. Charles can't glance at a whole web page to spot what he wants. He may have to listen to every link and line of text to figure out what's there.
So from there, I just started exploring with the down arrow. I find that. I don't know what that does. I'm not going to mess with it. I don't know what breadcrumb means, but it's a heading, and it starts a table. That's promising when I'm looking at a new page.
Just finding a syllabus can take a lot of time. When he does find the file, his software may not be able to read it. There might be a table, for example, data arranged in rows and columns. If it's made right, no problem. But if it's not...
If something looks like a table, but it's not set up as a table, it's not coded as a table, it's not a table to us. It's just nothing. But if it looks like a table and people are like, yeah, go to the table, there is no table. And that's a major problem that I've run into with instructors, is they don't get it.
It's often as easy to make things accessible as not, but few faculty know how. It's not their job. As they put documents and media online, they sometimes unwittingly exclude students who are blind or deaf or who can't use a mouse. So higher education is struggling with how to make sure no one gets shut out of an increasingly digital environment. Meanwhile, advocacy groups are suing universities who have inaccessible online materials. Recent targets include Harvard and MIT. Charles seems to take things in stride, though. Once he gets familiar with how a course is laid out, he has shortcuts that help him navigate more quickly.
Different letters jump by different elements. V jumps by visited link. H jumps by heading. G jumps by graphic. F jumps by forms field. So on and so forth. You can jump by a whole bunch of different things. If you add
And evolving technology is closing the gap on those hard-to-read documents.
Even in the last 6-7 years, technology has jumped enough that if it's not extraordinarily beautifully accessible, it's close enough that you can usually figure it out.
That's good not only for students, according to Ken Petrie, director of the Web Accessibility Center at The Ohio State University.
One of the things that I think is getting, you know, has gotten a lot better is just the sort of acceptance of students with disabilities as just regular learners. Faculty generally get less nervous now. A blind student registers a class is not a huge panic.
For WISO Community Voices, this is Jeff Hiles.
Support for Community Voices is provided by the Virginia W. Kettering Foundation. For more Community Voices stories and information on our training program, visit wiso.org.